12. I've got tons and tons of notes, and I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to not be able to get through the whole thing today. We're going to pick it up next week because I am not in a hurry. But I understand we do have another service to get to, and some of you are going, wait a minute, does that mean we're going long today? That's not the plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been in a series called Superpowered. Look at your neighbor and tell them, Superpowered. Now tell them in your best superhero voice, Superpowered. Nice. That sounded like Trish. Was that you, Trisha? I knew it. We've been in a series called Superpowered, and there's a couple of phrases that we've been looking at. Practice makes permanent. Practice makes permanent. Practice doesn't make perfect because there's none of us that are perfect, but Jesus is perfect. Amen? And as we practice, it's not that we get more confident in ourselves. Yes, there's a confidence level that happens as we exercise what God's put inside of us, but we become more confident in His ability to flow through us because we learn to trust Him more. You heard MK share a few moments ago about trusting God. And so, Lord, we want to trust You today. So there's another phrase I know we've talked about the past few weeks, but they're important, and I want to make sure we hear it again. The spirit of the gifts of the Spirit is love. The spirit of the gifts of the Spirit is love. The Bible says you could prophesy if you don't have love, just forget it. And so we want to make sure we love. So let's take a look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be reading beginning with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, or concerning spiritual gifts, Laconia Foursquare Church, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Everybody say all. For the profit of all, not just for the profit of one of us, but to profit all of us. It's to benefit every single one of us. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all, everybody say all, the Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Lord, thank You for Your word. I know we've prayed a lot today, but Lord, we could sure use a whole lot more prayer. So we're just asking right now, Lord, would You breathe on the words that are written in Your word today, that they would come off of the page, they'd come off of the screen and into our hearts, so our lives will be transformed in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen with me. Amen. 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 So, quick recap. Last week, we talked about insight gifts. We talked about the insight gifts, and those are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, we looked at verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6 last week. Verse 4 talks about the gifts that the Holy Spirit enables. The Holy Spirit enables the gifts that He's placed inside of us. The Lord Jesus is the one who administrates the ministries, the ministering of those gifts. And God the Father energizes the activities that are happening. So we see God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit alive and at work in every single aspect of spiritual gifts. So even though they're called spiritual gifts, they're not just the Holy Spirit's gifts. They're the gifts that God has given us. Tell the person next to you, you're gifted. So last week we looked at the inside gifts. It's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, what the word of wisdom is, it's a spiritual utterance. Let's go and go to the next slide there. I know I didn't put this up there last week, but I thought I'm going to put it up here this week. If you're taking notes, and hopefully you're taking notes, the word of wisdom, you could take notes in your nice little real-life journal, too. You can pick one up there at the information table when you leave. Only $5. Unless you got a free one, then there you go. Merry Christmas. So insights, gifts, word of wisdom, it is a spiritual utterance at a given moment through the Spirit supernaturally disclosing the mind, purpose, and will of God as applied to a specific situation. So that's the word of wisdom. Let's look at the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of information. Say that again. It's a supernatural revelation of information pertaining to a person or an event given for a specific purpose, usually for an immediate need. The next one. Discerning of spirits, the third insight gift that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the ability to discern the spirit world, because there is a lot that's happening right now that we can't see. Amen? The book of Ephesians says we don't battle flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, so on and so forth. And it's especially to detect the true source of circumstances or motives of people. Last week, we looked at John chapter 4 at the exchange where Jesus goes to the woman at the well in Samaria. And we saw how Jesus moved in all three of these insight gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, we're going to look at a next section of gifts called the power gifts, is what we'll call them. And these are found in verses 9 and 10. And it's a gift of faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. So everybody say faith. Gifts of healings. Working of miracles. So those are the three we're going to talk about today. And wherever we get to is where we'll stop, and we'll continue next week. I'm just going to tell you up front, I know we're not going to get through it because I got about 80,000 more pages of notes because it's just good. So here we go. Let's talk about faith first. So the gift of faith is a unique faith that supernaturally trusts and does not doubt with reference to the specific matters involved. Let me say that again. The gift of faith, it is a unique faith. When you came to Jesus, that is what some people would call saving faith. Well, some people will say, well, faith is faith. Well, yeah, but it's this gift of faith is different. It's a unique faith that supernaturally trusts and does not doubt with reference to the specific matters involved. So let me give you an example. 1996, I was at a worship leaders conference in Panama City, Florida, that just got hit with Hurricane Michael a few weeks ago. And so I was at a friend of mine's conference, and I was worship pastor at the time in Santa Maria, California. And I got called out of one of the sessions. Somebody came and said, Tim, your wife is on the phone. And I said, oh, man, something must be going down if she's calling me at this conference. And, so I go to the phone. Is everything okay? And she says, are you sitting down? And usually when you get that, are you sitting down, you're thinking, okay, I'm about to brace myself for impact, right? And I said, no, I'm at the front desk of the hotel that we're having the conference. Is everything okay? Are you sitting down? I said, no, I'm standing at the front desk. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to tell you. And she tells the story. I'll just make it real short for you. She says, I'm pregnant. And at that point, I wanted to jump through the roof. I was so excited. And no sooner had I said whatever I said, I don't remember what I said, but I remember I said this next. I said, we're having a girl. And it was kind of like, okay, I just kind of put that out there. And so all through the process, before we went and had the ultrasound at the doctor, I knew you could have told me we were going to have a boy. Huh? Yeah. And there were people who were like, how do you know? I said, the Lord just told me. I know we're having a girl. And so sure enough, we get to the ultrasound. The ultrasound technician comes in, and she was a shorter doctor. She comes in, and she said, well, do you want to know the sex of the baby? I said, no, it's a girl. And I thought, okay, I just can't believe I just kind of threw that out there. Because if she comes back and says, wrong, it's a boy. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew we were having a girl. So sure enough, she does the thing and pretty good, huh? I've done that three times. Shay Casey Jackson. So sure enough, she goes, well, look at that. You're having a girl. And I wanted to jump up and go, yeah! I knew it! But it's not that I knew it. It's because there was a gift of faith that was pertaining to the specific matter involved. I knew we were having a girl. Now, when JJ got pregnant with Casey, she said, well, I said, and I prayed and I prayed. I'm like, I got nothing. I got nothing. And so we went back and forth with girl names and boy names. And she's like, really? You just knew for Shay. You just knew. How'd you know? I'm like, I just knew. I had the faith that we're having a girl. So, and then Casey came, and then by the time Jackson came around, I'm pregnant. Woo! We're having a boy. And she said, okay. Now, at this point, there's this conversation that we've had where she says, do you know it like you knew Shay was a girl? Or are you just being hopeful? I said, I know it like I knew we were having a girl. I know we're having a boy. And sure enough, we go in, and it was the same ultrasound tech for all three kids. So by the time we came for baby number three, because Casey, I don't think she remembered the conversation. By the time we come with Jackson, she goes, so what's God telling you? I said, we're having a boy. She said, well, let's see. She goes, oh, look at that. You're having a boy. And again, I want to go, yeah. But that's a gift of faith at work. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, well, that's just kind of trivial. But for us, that has brought us to a point. I know when the Lord has spoken something to me, because for us, the marker has been, do you know it like you knew Shay was a girl? Or is it just something that you're hoping for? And there have been times where I know that I know that I know. Like you've heard me share last year when we came back here, October of 2016, God said, transition is coming, get ready. I knew that God spoke to me. And you could have said, you know, Tim, you just had bad pizza before you went to bed that night. But I knew it was something that the Lord spoke to me. And we began to prepare our hearts to make a move across country to our brand new home to be with this wonderful, wonderful, awesome, amazing group of people that God gets to call home. All right. So Hebrews chapter 11, 1. Let's talk for a few minutes what faith is and what faith is not. So let's talk about what faith is and what faith is not. Hebrews chapter 11, 1. Turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to do some turning in the word today, so get your fingers greased. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read that again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, before you get too far and think, well, he's just kind of, you know, continuing the thought of what the author was saying in the passage before. Some people would say, well, it should be read, now faith is. Other people have said, now faith is, because faith is always now, actively, presently, at work in our lives right now. Faith is at work in us. So now faith is. So see, faith is always present tense. Hope is always future tense. And so what we see in the word, it says now faith is right now. Faith is at work alive in our lives right now. Tell the person next to you, faith is alive in you right now. Faith is present tense. Hope is future tense. We have a hope that one day we will be in heaven with the Lord. Amen? We want to go upstairs. We don't want to go downstairs. And the hope is that one day we're going to see him face to face. So faith is present tense. Hope is future tense. What faith is believing something before you see it, which is very backwards than the world we live in. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And that is very backwards to what faith is. Faith is, I've got to believe it before I see it. Whew. Is that a stretch sometimes? Oh, yeah, that's a stretch sometimes, because we live in a world that says, prove it to me. Give me evidence, don't we? Show me. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. And this is exactly opposite of what faith is. What faith is, this gift of faith, it is not a natural faith. You're probably wondering, what's a natural faith? Okay, I'll show you what natural faith is right now. Ready for this? Did I look concerned, wondering, oh my gosh, I hope this chair supports my weight. Oh my goodness, I hope this platform is able to support the chair when I set the chair down on. I hope it doesn't break through. I hope the atoms just don't mysteriously just fall apart and Thanos. Some of you guys got that. Okay, I'll explain that later. But a natural faith is, I don't have to worry about this chair supporting my weight. I didn't wake up this morning and the first thought in my mind was, you know, I hope there's enough oxygen in my bedroom for me to breathe. Right? I get up and I breathe. I can sit in a chair and it's going to be fine. I can flip the switch and the power's going to come on. Make sense? That's just natural faith. It just happens. It just works. That's just the way things are designed to happen. See, that is the natural sense of faith. But see, it's a seeing is believing thing. If I flip the switch, the light's going to come on. But it's the opposite of godly faith. See, the gift of faith, this is interesting. The gift of faith typically works in tandem with another gift of the Spirit. The gift of faith usually partners up with another gift of the Spirit. Let me give you, for example, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, look at this. Jesus says, the first thing he says is what? He says, heal the sick. Now, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this faith oftentimes works with another gift. If I didn't have faith for someone to be healed, chances are they might not get healed. However, it's not dependent upon my faith. It's dependent upon the one who has the ability to heal. Right? You hear me? So faith oftentimes works. So heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, pray for people who have life-threatening diseases, whatever it might be, AIDS, cancer, hepatitis, whatever it might be. God says, do this and I will perform. But there's a partnership that we have with him. That is how the gift of faith works. And the Bible says, freely you've received, freely give. It's not for me to withhold, because the spirit of the gifts of the Spirit is what? It's love. And if I'm loving other people, I recognize that the gift that God has put inside of my life, the gifts that God has placed inside of us, it's not for us to hang on so tightly to think, oh, if I give it away, I might not get it back. That's not the way it works. God gave it to us to be a steward, just like our families, just like our finance, just like our home, just like our job, just like being able to meet in this beautiful building. God says, steward well with what I've blessed you with. And oftentimes, faith works together with another gift of the Spirit. Let's take a moment. Let's look at gifts of healings. Gifts of healings, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Gifts of healings are those healings that God performs by the Holy Spirit. God's the one who performs the healings. You ever heard the phrase, well, that person's a healer? Well, no, the healer is God. He's the one who does the healing. I have nothing in me. If James has something going on in his life, there's nothing in Tim Versalotto that says, well, I can heal whatever ails you. I got the cure for what ails you. There's nothing inside of me except the power of the Holy Spirit that we just read a moment ago that Jesus says, freely you've received, so freely give. So if I'm praying in Jesus' name and I'm activating and releasing that, it's nothing in Tim Versalotto that's causing James to be healed. It's only God's work by the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Make sense? All right, so let's look at this. Gifts of healings. This is interesting because the plural suggests that as there are many sicknesses and diseases, the gift is related to healings of many disorders. Here's basically what that means. There ain't nothing bigger than Jesus can handle. That's basically the long and short of it. It doesn't matter how big, how threatening the doctor says this is, Jesus is bigger. Period. Why do healings not happen all the time? I don't know. I'm not the Lord. I'm not the one who will sit on his throne and judge. But sometimes it would be nice to say, okay, Lord, could you just kind of give me some insight? You know, we prayed, we did what your word says, and I don't get it. Lord, I don't understand this. And it might be silent on the other end, and it might just be the Lord saying, but are you still going to trust me regardless? Are you still going to press through and do what my word tells you to do? Or are you just going to say, forget it. God's word must not really work. I'm just going to put it on the side and I'm just going to forget it. God must not heal today. That's what happens in the world that we live in, isn't it? If we pray and it's not a one and done, then we just kind of go, we just cash in the chips and say, well, I'm just going to cut my losses while I can now. Remember last week we were looking, as we're talking, and Smith Wigglesworth made this statement and said, our responsibility is to persevere. We have to persevere and persevere and persevere and persevere and persevere. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed since fourth grade, Lord, thank you that my eyes are healed. I don't know why I still have to wear glasses, but the Bible still says, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I'm healed. It doesn't change the fact that God's word is always going to be true. See, 90% of Jesus' ministry dealt with healing the sick because there was a need. Think about that. 90% of Jesus' ministry. He did a lot of teaching, but when we read about Jesus, he wasn't just known for being a great teacher. He wasn't just known for being a good rabbi. What did he do? He had compassion on people who needed a touch. Is our world so much different? Not really. See, Matthew 10, verse 8, we read a few moments ago, Jesus, his first instruction to the disciples was to heal the sick. His first instruction is to heal the sick. And then John 14, 12 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me," tell the person next to you, whoever. Now tell them this, that's you. "Whoever believes in me," that's us, "will also do the works that I do, and greater or more works than these will he do," or she, "because I am going to the Father." See, Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and 1 Corinthians 2, 4 are very similar in what they say. It says this, it says, "When the word is preached, signs will follow." Can I tell you, when I prepare my messages, when I'm in the word, when I'm praying, I'm like, "Lord, I know that I'm not the world's greatest speaker." But you know what? The Apostle Paul covered that in 1 Corinthians 2, 4. He said, "When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquent words. I didn't come with it all figured out, but I came in the demonstration of the power of the gospel." It doesn't matter if you can preach. If you just say Jesus loves you, that's enough power in that phrase to heal somebody. It doesn't matter if you just say, if all you can say is, "Jesus, help." And guess what? He can help. Because that is how powerful the name of Jesus is. See, every time I'm getting my message together, every time we come together and pray on Sunday mornings, and I send an email out to the people in my distribution list who look over the message and pray over the message, I'm saying, "Jesus, would you confirm your word? Your word says that you confirm the preached word of the gospel with signs that follow. I pray that when people come in this place, that they get healed, that they get set free, that you get delivered. If there's ear problems, eye problems, heart problems, back problems, diseases, whatever, that you leave healed. Because the Bible says if the word is preached, signs will follow." So the question I want to ask is this. Are the signs not following because we're not following like we should be following? I was having a conversation with a friend the other morning, and it was a terrific conversation. And he made a statement, and he's sitting in here, so this is not to make you feel bad at all, but this is a great conversation we had. And I knew what he was saying. He says, you know, when it comes to following the Lord, he said, he's talking about, you know, earning what God wants to do. And the word says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I thought, I know what you're saying. But to someone who is a less mature believer, they would say, "Well, wait a minute, I thought salvation couldn't be earned." And as we continued our conversation a little bit longer, I said, "I'm convinced it's not so much about earning what God wants to do in my life, but it's about yearning for what God wants to do in my life." And both of us at that moment, he goes, did the Lord just give that to you?" I said, "Yeah, he just gave it to me just right now. That's good, huh?" He goes, "Yeah, that's really good. I'm going to preach that." And I said, "I'm going to beat you to it." But see, the word tells us, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." The Bible doesn't say, "for they might be filled." It doesn't say, if God's having a good day and he's not mad at you, you might be filled. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." If there is a hunger and a thirst for this word in my life, the word says, I will be filled. If you're hungry, God says, I'll fill you up. If you're thirsty, I'll fill you up. What does this have to do with the gift of healing? I think it's got a lot to do with gifts of healings, because I think some people, we just live in our society and we go, "Well, if I get prayed for and it doesn't happen, I'll just go to the doctor. I'll just go take another pill. I'll just get a little more holistic. I'll just go look for organic eggs." That's good. That's fine. Go for it. But the Bible says that Jesus is our healer. See, James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Pastor Greg, go ahead and come on back up here, because I'm going to keep preaching all day if I don't hear some music to slow me down. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me," whoever believes in me, whoever, who, what? Whoever believes in me. It doesn't say if the elite people who give the most tithe and offering in church, does it? It doesn't say who is at church 4 out of 4 Sundays. If you miss one Sunday, well, you just missed what God was doing last Sunday. Sorry, you missed it. No, the Word of God says, whoever. Believes in me. Some of us need to let that sink in for a minute. Whoever believes in me. You're a whoever. I'm a whoever. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, And greater or more works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus says, if you believe it, it'll happen. Does it happen all the time? Maybe not all the time. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still Lord and God still wants to flow through every single one of us. That's good, huh? We're going to pick up here next week because there's more to look at with gifts of healings and working of miracles. And we're going to take some time next week and we're going to pray. So come expecting next Sunday. Not that you didn't come expecting today, because I know we always come expecting God to work in our lives. Amen. But next Sunday, if there's something going on in your life, we're going to take some time and we're going to pray. We're going to say, Lord, let my faith be stirred. God, work a miracle in my life. If there's a need for healing, come expecting. Some of you might be like, I need God to touch me today. Well, we're going to pray today too. We don't have to wait 7 days. We can pray right now. So I just want to ask, would you just do this with me? Would you close your eyes, bow your head? The first thing I want to do is I want to ask, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you give me the wonderful privilege of praying with you and welcoming you into the kingdom of God? If you've never asked Jesus to come in and be your Lord and your Savior, and you want to do that today, would you raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to ask Jesus into my life. I don't want to leave this place the same way that I came in. I need Jesus. Let me ask this second question today. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I do have a need for healing in my body, and I feel like I had the faith and I lost it. I'm not sure what's going on there, but I need a touch from the Lord. If you're here today and maybe the doctor gave you a prognosis lately that you're just like, whoa, and it shook you. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe there's back issues. Maybe there's stomach problems. None of that has more power than Jesus' name. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I've got something in my body. I need a touch from the Lord today. You might say, well, it's kind of insignificant. My finger hurts. Let's pray for it. Thank you, Lord. Just want to ask, would you just keep those hands up for a moment? And let's do this. Let's all stand together. And I want to ask those of you who raise your hand, I want to ask, could we take a moment? Those of you who raise your hand for prayer, would you just put your hand up again? And would you take a look just at people around you? If you see a hand, would you just maybe place a hand on a shoulder or maybe place a hand on someone's head? We're going to take a moment and we're going to pray. We're going to activate, stir up the gift of faith right now, and we're going to pray for some healing in people's lives. Now, you may want to share with a couple people around you what it is you're praying for. You may not want to, and that's totally fine. The Lord knows, amen? That's all that matters. So, Jesus, right now, we begin to pray for our brothers and our sisters. Lord, whatever's going on in their life, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are healing backs, that you are touching bodies in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, right now, that as we are connecting in points of faith, as we are stretching out our hands to our brothers and our sisters, we thank you that right now, in Jesus' name, that the heavens are being opened and that healing is being released right now. In Jesus' name. Church, just begin to lift up your voices and just begin to declare the healing of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to lift up your voices and declare it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Faith is being released in this place. Lord, we reach and receive that healing today in Jesus' name. We reach to the heavens and receive it today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, those of you getting prayed for, just begin to thank the Lord right now. Just begin to thank him for touching whatever that need is. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I receive that. Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for touching and releasing, for responding from heaven today in Jesus' name. Thank you that cancer is not stronger than Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Gastritis is not stronger than Jesus' name. headaches and migraines are not stronger. Bow your knee to the authority of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that eyes are being healed, that ears are being opened. Lord, I thank you that stiff necks are being worked out supernaturally in Jesus' name, that broken bones are being healed. Backs that are out of alignment are coming back into alignment now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Where there's been chest pains, where there's been stroke victims, and then there's been a loss of motor function, in Jesus' name, restoration and healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are the one. You are the one who is our healer. Jesus Christ, our healer. We receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. Church, can we just all across this room begin to lift up our voices and just begin to thank him right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are healing. You are releasing. You are touching. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right as we get ready to leave, let me share one story with you right before we head out. Last November... we had just received communion at church, and right before we passed out the elements, I shared and I said, if you are standing in the place of a need, you've got something in your body, as you eat the bread and drink the juice, receive whatever healing God has for you. About a week or so later, Eileen Ferraro came up and talked to me. If you haven't met Greg and Eileen, Greg is that handsome young man back there who's running Pro Presenter today, and his lovely wife, Eileen. Eileen came up and said, Pastor, I need to share something with you. It's just about a week or two after that time in November. She said, on 9/11, our church took a team down to New York City to minister after the terrorist attacks. And when I was there, I lost hearing in my left ear. And I said, really? And she said, I just want to let you know the Lord just healed me. He healed me when we received communion. And, you know, man of faith and power here, right? What do I say? I go, really? And it wasn't a disbelief, really. It was like a wow, really? And I said, Eileen, how deaf were you in that ear? She said, 100%. I couldn't hear a thing. And so I asked her this morning, I said, hey, how's your hearing? And she said, it's so great hearing everything in stereo again. I don't know why God heals when he heals, but I know that he's our healer. If you received prayer today, I believe God began to work immediately. He's at work in your body right now. The enemy is going to try to lie to you and say, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. He's going to try to make you give up. Can I just share something with you? Never give up. Journey said it great in a song that said, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. And it's more than just holding on to a feeling. It's holding on to the reality that Jesus is our healer. Amen? Some of you guys are going, don't stop right now, aren't you? Yeah, we better pray before I get myself in trouble. Well, would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing? Now, Lord, I thank you today that it has been a full day in your presence. Lord, I feel like we haven't just nibbled at the smorgasbord. Lord, we have been feasting at your table today. Lord, thank you for visiting us in a powerful way with praise and worship. And Lord, we got to hear what you're doing in the Philippines through Nicole. And Lord, thank you that as we've prayed for her, and Lord, I know many of us sow financially into her ministry. Lord, continue to bless her in the Philippines. Lord, then we came together and we heard you share words with us. And so, Lord, as we get ready to go from this place, I thank you that we leave filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that we go from this place that you remind us, Lord, let this echo in our hearts all week long, that God declares over you, friends, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you are blessed and not cursed, and whatever you set your hands to will prosper. In Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you shout amen today? Amen. Amen. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We're going to pick up next week where we left off. Look for open doors of God to work in you and through you. Amen. I love you. Have a great week, everybody.